So you see, I wasn't faking it. Oh, man. Let me tell you something. Aggravation, frustration, annoyance, all those words, okay? I was feeling all those words last week. I'm the type of person that likes to do things and do them right. You know, when I go at something, I go at it 100%. You can't have any loose ends. You can't have any missed spots. You gotta do it all. But as luck would have it, last week I was sick, and I was sick as a dog. Let me tell you, when I woke up, I knew that there was no way I would be able to do that show. And this thing, whatever it was, lasted for days and days. It was horrible. I won't give you the gruesome details, but just trust me when I tell you, it was bad. And I had to miss a show. The first show I've ever missed completely. I suppose you could say I was there in spirit because I was in the chat and I was messaging Dash as he was hosting it, and I'd like to thank him for doing a fantastic job. He got through 45 minutes, which is pretty damn good when you consider that he was doing it all by himself. Unprepared, mind you, unprepared. So yeah, I was there in spirit, but I wasn't on the show, and it's eating me alive. It's killing me. Now there's an episode that I was not on, but I don't know. Don't let Dash hear me say this, but fortunately it didn't record, so haha. I'm on all the recorded ones, which, well, isn't many, but the show is HackerMind, and we are recording this one. I'm your host, Screamer Chaotix, and in just a minute we will have the man of the hour last week, the man of the 45 minutes at least, Dash Interrupt, on the line in just a few moments, but I wanted to begin by just mentioning a few things that were on my mind. And don't worry, they're not rants. I'm not gonna occupy the show's time bitching my head off about all sorts of different things. I just wanted to say that these past few days have really been an eye opener for me. I'm sure many of you out there have had experiences that change your life forever. You've had realizations, revelations. You've seen things more clearly. You've understood things more completely. And that's what's happened to me. After my extended vacation, my Christmas vacation, which lasts over a month, I had to go back to Southern Connecticut State University, which is where I currently attend school. And, of course, I realized that, you know what, I don't want to be here. Now, I've said that before, and I'll say it again, but I knew something had to be done. Something had to change. So, as I had tried before, I got in touch with a computer school. So now, if all goes well, next semester I will be attending a computer school. And I will do so for 1 year, after which time I will then be guaranteed a job paying the starting rate of at least $40,000 a year, which should help. But, yeah, you know, I've realized that sometimes if you leave one path, it's not the same thing as giving up. You know, sometimes it can be difficult to do that. It can be difficult to say, well, I'm not going to finish this school, when you know some of your friends are. It's a tough thing, but I know that I've made the right decision by leaving this school, and I don't know if anyone else out there is having that same conflict. If you're torn, as they say, well, maybe I can assure you that it's best to just do what you feel like you should do. And right now, I feel like I should get on with the show, so I'm going to begin by showing you, through the magic of the telephone, something that I found. Now, it's not the most interesting thing in the world, but let me play it for you, and then I'll explain why it caught my attention. Now, let's hope it works. It does take quite a few rings.
You have reached 1-800-321-4255. 4KMH. This is a misprint in the New Jersey Bell telephone directory. The correct number is 1-800-547-9007. Please make note of this. Again, 1-800-547-9007. If you wish to be connected now, please press 0.
Okay, so why does that catch my ear? Well, let me explain. When I first called it, I was a little taken back by the fact that she says you have reached basically a misprint. Now, I was kind of confused by this because why would someone own their own misprint? You know, if New Jersey Telephone screwed up their phone book by printing this number instead of the company's rightful number, how come this company has that number? And so then I started thinking, well, maybe they don't. Maybe because she's saying you've reached a misprint, maybe this is New Jersey Telephone. Maybe this is some sort of intercept recording. And then she says, press 0 to be connected. Now, right off the bat, I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a second. Does that mean that the switch is going to forward me to a number? And of course, I got a hold of myself. I mean, keep in mind, when I found this, I was sick. I don't know what I was thinking. But dialing 0 on a switch would not get you a number like that. So then I started hypothesizing and theorizing and doing all that, and I suppose the only explanation could be that for some reason, maybe this company bought the misprint number so that they can intercept those recordings. I don't know, but when you hit 0, you do get the rightful number. Now, maybe these people are picky, maybe they don't want people calling this number because they're going to fade it out eventually, but I don't know. If nothing else, this shows you some of the weird things you can find out there by just dialing numbers. And speaking of numbers, I know a good one to dial, but you can't hear it. Or if you can, you're very good. And let's see what awaits us on the other end of this number. And that's Dash Interrupt.
What's up?
Oh, what's up today? Well, let's see, we're doing Hacker Mind, and I'm back.
Yeah, you are back.
That's one thing that's up. Now, Dash, I want to thank you for filling in for me last week, although it's really killing me that I couldn't be there.
Yeah, last week was, it was kind of, Thursday night was a little nerve-wracking, and the show, a lot of things went wrong with that show.
Like what?
Well, for one thing, I had to set up the theme song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I accidentally played a little bit of it before I was supposed to. And then I didn't realize the song was still playing when I pushed play on it. So it wasn't at the right spot.
I see.
And of course, all the buffering problems and everything people were having.
Yeah, well, you know, the buffering problems. You're on 56K, and I know what I had messaged you and just said, you know, listen, stop worrying about it. You know, you sounded nervous. You know, you sounded like...
I did sound a little nervous, yeah.
You know, when you kept on mentioning the buffers, and, you know, you apologized for them. And I do that, too. But, you know, I messaged you and I said, listen, just calm down. Don't worry about that. And remember that you're recording it. Well, you know, I thought you were recording it, okay, but...
Yeah, you didn't tell me how to record it.
Yeah, I completely forgot. I just, you know, I didn't even think, I assumed that you knew it. What you do is you click on audio source and go down to save to archive file. And god damn, that's a lot of listeners. Anyway.
I see. So that's how you record the show. Well, I'll remember that next time.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. We gotta get you hosting more shows to get you into the swing of it, you know?
I don't know about that.
Well, come on.
I am a host, you know, I'm just kinda.
Well, you're other. Yeah, you're a host, but, you know, you got to do it by yourself. I mean, there have been plenty of episodes that were a half hour long back in the day
that
I did by myself because, you know, maybe you were incarcerated or something like that.
Maybe.
I don't know.
How many shows have you had to do without me?
Oh, I've done quite a few.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were all recorded. I don't think I've ever gone for an hour by myself, but...
Even when I was incarcerated?
Yeah, those were half hour shows.
I see.
But hey, I'm ready for it. You know, if you want to get sick, I'm ready to go for an hour.
I'm sure you are.
I can do it. I know I can.
I know you can. But I want to mention something. You said right before you called that misprint number.
Yeah, yeah.
You said, now this isn't the most interesting thing in the world.
Right.
Now, I want the most interesting thing on the world on the show.
You want the most interesting thing in the world on the show.
Everybody always says that before they do something. This isn't the most interesting thing in the world.
Well, it's certainly not.
What is the most interesting thing in the world?
Oh, so you want HackerMind to get the most interesting thing in the world on the show.
That's right.
That's
my goal.
We already have it. It's me.
I'll let the silence speak for itself.
All right, then. Oh, yes, it's good to be the host. You ever seen History of the World Part 1?
Have I?
Yeah.
No.
Good to be the king. All right. Well, we have a lot of interesting things to show people tonight. And, Dash, I have a little tape recorder here in my hand. I know you've been itching for me to play this.
Yeah, that was cool.
We'll get to that in just a little while.
All right, yeah, all right.
Settle down now. We got to save the best for last.
Cool. So, you know, keep listening.
Yeah, yeah, because we do have some very interesting things to play for you and blah, blah, blah. But a couple things that I wanted to talk about, and this is a personal one. This is something that I was ready to go last week. Let me tell you something. I was ready to talk about this last week. I mean...
Yeah, but you were sick.
Yeah, I was sick. My voice was like this. All right, you know, pretty much, anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, now, I've mentioned before my VoiceStream phone, okay?
Yeah.
Now, you know how people are, okay? You know how... I mean, even hackers do this sometimes. You get used to something, and you only use the same features over and over. You never really explore, you never really experiment, you know? You know what I'm saying, Dash?
I kinda don't.
Well, you got a cell phone, it has features, but you only dial numbers.
Yeah, but I've explored the features of my cell phone.
Have you explored them all, though?
I have, if not all of them, a lot of them.
Okay, but, you know, sometimes you get a DVD player... You watch the movie, that's it. But
I know what you're saying, though, yeah.
Yeah, you never watch the special features or something like that.
You just do it for its basic function.
Right, right. Well, for the most part, I thought I had played with everything on this phone, but then I started realizing that there was a way to actually email people. Now, nowhere on the site does it say this. Not, you know, if you just look at the site for VoiceStream, it doesn't say this anywhere, but it is, in fact, possible to email someone and receive email on your VoiceStream phone.
Yeah.
Now, all you gotta do is just enter in the email address, put a space, and then you have to type out your message, which is easier said than done for anyone who's ever tried to do it, and hit OK, and then it'll ask you for a number. So then you type in 500, send it out, and the message is sent. Now, I'm thinking to myself, okay, cool. I want to email my phone. So I go into my Optimum Online account, and I send a message to my phone. But lo and behold, nothing comes through.
Really?
Yeah. This is confusing me. Why not? So I check my email on Optimum again, and lo and behold, there's the message returned. It says that tofu.voicestream.net refused the message.
I said, tofu?
What's that?
Tofu?
Yeah, tofu. Tofu.voicestream.net. What a name for a machine.
So it returned the message without sending it to your cell phone.
Right, right, and.
Did it give a reason?
Oh, it
sometimes it'll give a reason.
No, the reason was that Tofu refused it.
I see.
That's it. It refused it. It said no.
Said no.
So, naturally, the thing I do is I call up VoiceStream and I say to them, listen, I can't email my phone. And they said, well, let me try it. And, of course, it goes through and I get the message.
Yeah.
So I hang up and I try emailing my phone from Linux Mail. That works.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've narrowed it down. Optimum is the problem. I call up Optimum Online and I ask him to email my phone. You know, the guy tries it and he says, okay, the message went out. And I'm like, yeah, but I didn't get it. Well, it's not here. It went out.
It's not here.
Yeah, I know, but I don't have it. You didn't hear the little beep, 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 did you?
No.
So, So I told him that, you know, this is obviously a problem between the two routers. You know, the router at Optimum and the router at VoiceStream just don't like each other.
Right.
You know, something's got to be done. Now, what do you think Optimum does?
I don't know, give some bullshit answer and say they'll work on it?
Oh, I wish. No, they tell me to go to VoiceStream. It's obviously VoiceStream's problem.
Okay, sure.
So I go to VoiceStream. VoiceStream says, no, sir.
This is
clearly a case of Optimum not sending the message. So they send me to Optimum, and here I am caught in the middle. I'm being bounced back and forth between Optimum, VoiceStream, Optimum, VoiceStream, and who do you blame?
I think it's Optimum.
Well, it's either Optimum's email is not compatible for some reason, and they got to change that around to work with.
I don't see why it would be a problem.
Well, when tofu.voicestream.net, which is why I think it's VoiceStream, gets an email from Optimum, it doesn't like it and it will not allow it.
Yeah, but why?
I don't know. Maybe VoiceStream just does not want to support Optimum. Who knows?
Yeah, that is pretty weird.
It is weird. So
we need to figure it out.
That still, to this day, has not been settled. You know what?
What?
Okay, here we go. Let me try this live on the air. I'm going to try emailing my phone from my Optimum Online account. Let's see if this problem has somehow magic. Can you believe I got new mail?
You got new mail?
It's spam.
Oh.
It's spam from Name Zero. Okay, let's see if this actually goes through. Maybe the problem has been fixed.
Maybe, but probably not.
All right. Let's send a test, and it's out.
Hey, remember when I called you the Scourge of SNIT?
Yes, I do.
You're no longer the Scourge of SNIT. You're the Scourge of Optimum.
The Scourge of Optimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not scourging Optimum, though.
Yeah, I know, but still, you do sometimes.
Okay, now, the message has been sent out. I haven't heard anything. Let me check the email for Optimum.
Is your phone turned on?
Sure enough, the message has been returned to Optimum, and yes, my phone is on.
Okay.
This report relates to a message you sent with the following header fields, and it shows the return path. It shows where it was received from. That would be the Optimum Online mail server.
Right.
It received it from HackerMind, which is the name of my machine.
Right.
From Screamer Chaotix. That's the email at Optimum. To my VoiceStream phone. And then at the very bottom it says, your message cannot be delivered to the following recipients. It shows my address. Reason: rejection greeting returned by server. Diagnostic code, SMTP 550, message refused. Remote system, DNS, tofu.voicestream.net, message refused. So, there you go.
Yeah, well, I've had that happen to me a few times. Not with emailing cell phone, just emailing certain email addresses. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, but Optimum will not send, or, VoiceStream will not accept. I don't know. Optimum won't send there. VoiceStream won't receive from them. So there's a problem, but you can't blame anybody. You know, it's like when your computer has a problem. Is it, like the microphone doesn't work, hypothetically. Not that that would ever happen.
Or your video card doesn't work.
Yeah, there you go. Who do you blame? Do you blame...
your system when you find out the answer to the problem.
Yeah, but do you blame Microsoft for their operating system, or do you blame Compaq or Dell for the hardware? Well, obviously, Compaq or Dell or whoever is going to blame Microsoft, and Microsoft is going to blame the hardware.
Yeah. It's going to go back and forth.
Yeah, and you can't pinpoint anybody down and say, listen, you're responsible. So it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and I'll tell you what else. It's ludicrous.
Well, thanks for putting it that way, Dash.
You're welcome.
It just says it all. Now, have you had any... horrifying experiences? Because I think you have.
Let me tell you, my friend. I told people this last week. If you are listening to the buffer problems, I got a new video card. It's a GeForce 2 MX. Yeah, I know it's old, but it was pretty cheap, and it won't work in my computer for some reason. Well, the reason would be my motherboard, and apparently some old Socket 7 motherboards are incompatible with newer video cards. I think it has something to do with the power that the video card needs to function. So,
mm-hmm.
But it did work on my other computer's Socket 7 motherboard. So basically, I have a video card that won't work in my computer.
Now, had you gotten this from a store, you could probably return it and get one that would, right?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
but you got it on eBay, so...
I'm going to keep it, and if I ever come across a motherboard that will support it, mm-hmm. and it's, like, cheap, I'll buy it.
See, Dash, I'm telling you, man, you just got to get a new tower. Just
I know, man.
Forget those upgrades, because you get things that are incompatible, and it gives you more headaches than it does power. And it sucks.
It does suck.
But I hope that's all worked out. I know I would love to play Aliens vs. Predator 2 with you.
Yeah, I know.
For crying out loud.
It doesn't make any sense, because my motherboard does have an AGP port on it.
Yeah.
Like, just like the other motherboard that's in the other computer.
It's just not fast enough, though, right? Not strong enough.
Hang on. I'm going to tell people who are considering a Stock 7 motherboard. I don't know why you would be, but if you are considering Stock 7 motherboard and you want AGP support, do not get the Soyo SY-5 EMA motherboard.
Alright. Soyo. I don't think I'd get anything called Soyo.
Oh, and do not call the technical support.
Oh, tell us about that.
Oh, man, you don't want to know about that. It's just like the technical support at FIC. That's another company that makes motherboards. You'll never get through.
What do you get?
I listen to this. I called them up, and I got transferred to technical support. And I just had to sit there. I sat there for like 40 minutes. I sat there for 40 minutes. And you know what's playing during the 40-minute screamer?
What's that?
Let me tell you.
Don't tell me.
This guy. You hear this voice, and it says that, like, he has a problem with his hard drive. And then the voice sounds like a Chinese guy or something. He says the maybe the answer to the problem. Puts an answer out there for him. And there's like four or five of these different questions that this guy answers. It's recording, right?
Yeah.
And guess what that recording does?
It loops
and you keep listening to the same guy talking about the same problems, and he doesn't even know English very well. So you just want to, I don't know, it's not very good.
Yeah.
I don't like these people. I've never come across technical support that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
I got through to, except back in the old days when I had an AST computer, I got through to them pretty quick. But
Didn't you have one company that only had their voicemail and they kept promising to call you back?
Yes, that's FIC motherboards. FIC, you go computers, whatever. First International Computer, I think.
Is that the only way they do business, is by taking messages?
No, but it's not supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I called up there, it said they're not at their desk, so leave a message.
So the one guy that they have is not at his desk.
Oh, there's like three. There's three of them.
Oh, there's three of them. Well, certainly comforting.
They were never at their desk. And I left a message and they never got back to me, but... You know, I already sold that motherboard, so who cares?
Yeah. Well,
it's always something. It's always
wait a minute. I just heard something come through. Now, did you hear those little beeps on the line?
No.
Well, I just heard, and it should have been picked up by the microphone. It just, it sounds like this little static on the phone line that you're now on, which is usually the sign that something was coming through my phone, but nothing did, so I guess that was just... The cell phone, I don't know, decided to talk to the cell site for some reason.
Did that happen last week, the week before that?
Yeah, I think so, and I think it might happen again next week, so let's just not even acknowledge.
This is the first show in, like, 2 weeks that we've done together that's live.
Yeah, it is, yeah, because 2 weeks ago we did a recorded one.
Yeah.
That fooled a lot of people.
Yeah, that did fool a lot of people.
Oh, man, how do you think they're going to feel when they find out we're recorded tonight?
No, we're not recording tonight.
Oh, come on, Dash. You don't even want to play along.
No,
we're live. It's January 24th, 2002.
9:26 p.m.
10:26 p.m. 0200. Well, 0225 anyway. 226, whatever. But anyway, let's move on. Okay, now, Dash, last week you had played with a number... On the air, right?
Yeah, I did.
But I'm not sure how many people heard it because of the buffer problems.
Probably not a lot.
So we're going to play with that number one more time, and then we'll get into our special feature, okay?
Our special feature, yes.
All right, hold on, I got to bring up the number.
Okay.
Oh, I hate letters. You'd think I know where they all are. Hey. Rotary?
Hello. through the New York State Victim Information and Notification System. To continue in English, press 1. To obtain information about inmates...
Well, we got some static on the line.
...City Department of Correction, press 1. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the New York City Department of Correction Automated Jail Information Line. Please be advised that this system is only for inmates in the custody of the New York City Department of Correction.
Okay.
This system is provided for victims of crime committed in New York City. The purpose of the VINE system is to assist you in obtaining information regarding the custody of inmates from the records of the New York City Department of Correction. As with any automated system, it is not completely free of errors, and there may be delays in reporting inmate information due to technological difficulties.
Oh, good.
Human error. You should not rely on the VINE system or any other information system for protection. If you know the New York State ID number, press 1.
Let's try that.
Please enter the inmate's New York State ID number followed by the pound sign. Please enter the inmate's New York State ID number followed by the pound sign.
No.
Use the 1 key for Q and Z. That is not a valid New York State ID number. The New York State ID number must be 7 digits, followed by 1 letter.
Well, that was
easy. Please enter the inmate's New York State...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
No inmate could be found with the information that you provided. Either the information you provided is not correct, or the inmate may not be in the custody of the New York City Department of Correction.
You got out!
New York State ID number, press 1. If you only know the inmate's name, press 2. You have chosen to search for the inmate by name. The system may take a few moments to locate inmates with a common last name. During this time, you will hear silence. Please do not hang up. Please enter the last name of the inmate, followed by the pound sign. Use the 1 key for Q.
Let's try Smith. Dash, I think you use Smith, right?
I use Jones.
Oh, Jones.
Sam Jones.
The inmate's last name is S-M-I-T-H. If this is correct, press 1. Please enter the first name of the inmate followed by the pound sign.
John.
The inmate's first name is J-O-H-N. If this is correct, press 1. Please enter the inmate's arrest date followed by the pound sign.
I don't know.
Enter 2 digits for the month, 2 for the day, and 4 for the year. If you do not know the inmate's arrest date, press the pound sign. Please enter the birth month of the inmate followed by the pound sign. If you do not know the inmate's birth month, press the pound sign. The inmate cannot be found because not enough information was entered. The inmate's birth month or arrest date must be entered to ensure proper identification.
Okay, well, you get the idea.
I get the idea.
If you know an inmate in the New York prison system, you can find out when they're going to be released, and you might want to haul ass when you find out.
Yeah, and I like how she told you how many digits the ID number was.
You know, if only more passwords were like that.
That is nice. I mean, if you've messed around with long enough, you'll come up with one that works.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 7 numbers, 1 letter. Not that difficult, considering how many prisoners there are.
Yeah.
Ah, boy. Well, that's just something we found, and that number can be reached at 888... Oh, I hate letters, but it's 888-VINE-4NY. That's V-I-N-E-4-N-Y. So give that a call, see who you can find, and, I don't know, be careful. Maybe they'll be on to you. Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right, but that's not the only thing that that transpired in the last few weeks. Me, Dash, and Unreal.
Well, Unreal.
I'm sure many people know. He's been on the show several times.
Actually, just twice.
A couple times. Well, we were all on a conference line. Now, as anyone knows, when freaks get together on the phone lines, chaos is bound to ensue. And this was no different. We were experimenting with all sorts of different things, and on this particular night, One thing that caught our interest was playing around with operators, putting them in situations where they might not know exactly what's going on and seeing how they reacted.
Yeah.
Now, one popular thing that we were doing was we were on the conference line, so what we would do is three-way to two separate operators. We couldn't bring in three because Unreal was on a different kind of phone system.
Yeah.
And we would hope that the operators would talk to each other. We tried this several times, and we even tried this on the show, I remember, once.
Yeah, we tried it once, and not much happened with it.
Right, right. And we were getting the same results on this particular night. The one operator would answer, and we have tons of tape here, but it would take far too long to go through all of it.
Yeah, it was pretty long.
So one operator would answer, and they would say, AT&T, how may I help you, in the typical pre-recorded AT&T voice, and then followed by MCI, how may I help you. We would stay silent, and we hoped that the two operators would figure it out that they were two operators, but sadly they didn't, and or if they did, they didn't say anything to each other because they would just hang up. But eventually we got an idea. We wanted to see what would happen if we talked to them, but I'll let this tape explain what we did for itself. So
it's me, Screamer, and Unreal in the conference line.
Yeah, and our comm line, as we call it, can be found on our front page, right beside irc.box.sk, channel HackerMind, which is our chat room.
Yeah, go to the chat. Talk with people in there.
Yeah, and call the comm line, because you never know who's on it and who's doing what. So, give this a listen. And we do apologize for the quality.
Yeah, that might be... Yeah. Anybody want to try that?
Okay, so I'm trying to find the country code of Italy, right?
Okay. Yeah. Which one was it doing?
I'll do the talking.
Okay.
I'll trust Dash to do it. All right, so now what, what do you need, MCI? Yeah, you get MCI, I'll get do I want AT&T? Yeah, I'll get AT&T. All right. Yeah, I was going to ask the question like it's legitimate, you know, so...
Okay.
Everybody, if you got you use it.
I know, but I'll be explaining that.
No, so you're the one going... Okay.
No, I'm not making any noise.
Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Yeah. 2, 1, go. The country code of Italy.
The country code of Italy?
Yes.
Yeah, I have the country code for Italy. It's 39.
39. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello? See, I don't think they can hear each other.
I don't think so. I mean, you...
Replied to me.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, one said, I don't know, something, and the other one said, hold on.
I heard two of them enter, and all I heard was one of them give you information.
Right. Yeah. One of them said, Italy? And I said, yes, and the other one said, hold on.
I heard both, seriously.
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know, I mean, either they can't hear each other for some reason. You would think they'd be able to, because they're both conference in.
Right.
Or it's... I don't know.
It's weird. Yeah, that is weird.
It might be interesting. Go ahead.
What? I was just about to say it might be interesting to find out for sure.
Yeah, but how would we find out for sure?
Yeah,
would we just be asking?
I guess. I mean, why not?
Well, you know, you can always... I found that in all phone freaking things that you may do, you can always play dumb. You know, because when you play dumb, they can't get you for anything. I mean, if you dial a number you're not supposed to dial, you can always say, what? What is this?
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't know what you're doing. I mean, you have to enter in a code and, you know, like hack into something before they take any interest.
Right.
So, I mean, if you want, I mean, I can ask, like, wait a minute, I hear two operators on the line.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
I don't know if I don't know if you want to try.
Sure.
Okay, we're trying a lot of things tonight. Alright, so what am I going to say? I want the country code of Japan.
Sure. As long as you don't get the same operator.
Well, you know what? To make sure that doesn't happen, Dash...
It doesn't even matter, but, you know, it seems
you want,
weird to the operator.
Well, you know what? It doesn't, because we just tried this before, and now we want to see if we get the same error again.
Let's see. I could go ahead and call up 1-800-OPERATOR if I don't want to have to do it.
Well, that's AT&T, right?
Right.
Yeah, I was going to bring AT&T in.
Well, if you want to bring AT&T, that would work.
Nah, Dash, yeah, we'll just do what we did before.
Okay, that's fine.
Dash, no offense, unreal.
Oh, yeah.
We have the timing down on that, so.
You want me to bring in
AT&T? Yeah, and I'll bring in AT&T.
Alright.
I'm going to ask for the country code of Japan, and then I'm going to, if they're talking at the same time, I'm going to say, you know, it sounds like there are two operators on the line.
Are you recording this?
Yeah.
By any chance?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you know what would be even more funny is if, two people started talking. That'd be interesting. Like blind or gross, seriously. Just a good idea, but...
You know what, I think we should try this first, just so they can hear each other.
Okay.
You ready, Dash?
Yeah, I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
That was a recording.
I love that. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was something. But you know what I realized, and I'm really kicking myself now.
What?
That bitch at AT&T. You know what happens when they transfer you to information to 00 info?
What?
They charge you.
Oh, do they?
It's like $1 if you don't have it on your line. And she asked me, "Do you have AT&T on your line?" And I said, "No."
So
they probably tacked on a $3 surcharge too.
That bitch.
And for that split second that I was connected, they charged me about $4. I bet.
Oh man, damn.
But AT&T, MCI was right there waiting to give me the information free of charge, no hassle, no problem, no transferring you to a place that's gonna make you pay something. No. Here it is. How nice was that?
That was pretty fun, actually.
How nice was that? Now, ooh, excuse me.
Damn, are you cured yet?
I'm cured. It's just, you know, you know how coughs are. They love to linger.
Yeah, they do.
Alright, so we now know for certain that the operators can, in fact, hear each other. They just refuse to speak when they hear another operator on the line.
Yeah, except for this guy stayed on the line when he heard another operator.
Yeah, now that, isn't that, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. You know, knowing that if you did get the wires crossed, the lines crossed, whatever, and you did get an operator on the line that wasn't supposed to be there, what else would he listen in on?
That's true. Maybe, well, he did finally say he was there.
He did, yeah. He did to offer me service, which I liked because he gave it to me for free, but what if we were having a personal conversation? What if I called you and that same thing happened? Now, obviously it can't because we set this up, but just assuming, just saying, because a lot of weird things can happen on the phone network. If you read Equal Access, you'll know that. We've in the first issue, we published some things that talk about some of the weird things that happen on the phone network. And if that did happen, how much would that operator listen to?
I have no idea.
And it's kind of scary.
It depends on the person, you know?
Yeah. And speaking of Equal Access, yeah, go check that out.
Yeah, Equal Access.
That's our new magazine. It's the magazine that's dedicated to giving you the information that the phone company doesn't want you to have.
And it's on paper.
Yeah, it is. It comes right to your door, and we've gotten some more subscriptions in, so we'd like to thank all those people that have signed up, and thanks for keeping HackerMind alive.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to hear from people. You know, there's this one article in the first issue that deals with making a conference call like you would not believe. I really want people to try that. So if you have the first issue, feel free to email me at screamer@hackermind.net. I want to know if that works for you. I want to know what your experience has been. I mean, this article tells you how to make a conference call with virtually like an infinite amount of people. It's the coolest thing in the world. I mean, to have hundreds of people on the same line talking, it's incredible. So if you have read that article, please get in touch with me. If maybe something happens, it doesn't work, maybe you've had some bad experiences, maybe you've had some good experiences, I don't care. Let me know. I'm dying to know. All right. Moving on to some newsworthy items, and these are very newsworthy. This one here is about a hacker named Heckenkamp. Have you heard about him?
Oh, Heckenkamp, yes.
Yeah, I kind of thought you might have.
Yeah, I know about him.
Yeah, the accused eBay hacker says a pretrial internet ban and a slow legal process prompted him to volunteer for jail.
Yeah, he volunteered for jail. If I ever try to volunteer for jail, will, you know, smack some sense into me, right?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, for you I would, but
okay.
This kid here, man, he's got some cojones. This comes to us from...
He's just crazy, man.
From Kevin Polson, it says here, frustration with the slow pace of his legal proceedings and strict pretrial restrictions spurred accused eBay hacker Jerome Heckenkamp to ask a judge to rescind his bail and send him to jail. The 22-year-old imprisoned computer expert told Security Focus Tuesday. He says, as long as I was out on bond, I didn't feel free anyway. In an interview at the Santa Clara Country Jail in San Jose, California. I'm pretty sure that's county.
Santa Clara.
Yeah, Kevin.
They're a country jail.
Yeah, I think it's county. And I can't work on my case properly with a computer restriction. So it's the same thing that we saw in the Kevin Mitnick case. Here's a person being denied access to their own evidence, as they're supposed to have access to their evidence to defend themselves, but here they can't because they won't let them use a computer, and duh, all the evidence is on a computer.
Yeah.
Heckenkamp was taken into custody at his own request after a hearing Friday when, as first reported by Newsbytes, he persuaded a U.S. magistrate to return the $50,000 in bail a friend had posted on his behalf. The accused hacker also fired his defense attorney, noted cyber law expert Jennifer Granick, to represent himself in court.
All right. If you ever put up my bail for $50,000,
yeah,
and then you complained about how, you know, it was too much money, and, you know, you got problems now. Too bad.
Okay. Well, you do get most of it back.
Yeah.
Once you show up for me, not all of it though. Remember that.
I'm see what the problem is.
Yeah, but remember that, though. In the shapeshifter case in Philadelphia,
that guy's
still out like $750. The state simply would not return his money, even though he showed up. And he was found not guilty. They threw it out, and yet they're still holding on to $750 of his dollars just because. I mean, what a way to go around collecting money. Just arrest all the people you can, and then...
when they put up their bail, and then they're acquitted or whatever, just keep some of the money.
Keep a portion of it.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't feel like I was running the show, says Heckenkamp, who charges that Granick wasn't fighting his case with sufficient vigor. I'm the only one who's going to lose out. I'll fight this with all my heart. Clinical director of the Center for Internet and Society at Stanford Law School wouldn't comment on the case, citing attorney-client obligations. Well, he fired your ass, so...
Yeah.
I knew I was going to jail, but I didn't know what to expect, says Heckenkamp at his first day in jail, I suppose. Some of the companies I had never heard of before... This is him talking about what he was accused of. Some of the companies I had never heard of before I was charged, says Heckenkamp, who claims that hackers penetrated his dorm room computer when he was a graduate student at the University of Wisconsin and used it to crack other systems. There's plenty of evidence to support that. Now, whether or not we believe that other hackers got into his computer and did the damage from there, it's possible. It's possible. And it should be seen in jail, or it should be seen in court. But he went to jail on his own volition.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. You know, I've been in jail, I've been in juvenile detention, but still, I wouldn't volunteer to go back there. Okay.
Yeah. Well, now it says here he's dressed in his jail issue orange and sporting a plastic wristband. Heckenkamp appeared at ease in his surroundings and was quick to smile and joke Tuesday. Even after a taste of incarceration, he says he doesn't regret last week's decision.
This guy is crazy. That's all I've gathered from this article. This guy, I know he wants to defend himself in the best way that he thinks he can.
Yeah.
He's not a lawyer, and he already as a lawyer, he's in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well... He decided that it would be better to put himself in jail than to live outside, not feeling free anyway. So, and he saves himself. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm glad the kid's in jail, but he saves himself an awful lot of money in court fees by simply giving up and just paying with time.
See, if the evidence that they have against him is on a computer, there's other ways to get that information besides using a computer. So, I don't know what his deal is.
Not necessarily, Dash. I mean, who's really going to go and print out all these log files that could prove, you know, that...
His lawyer should, if he still had her.
So, you would think that his lawyer would go in and know how to do everything, print everything out?
Well, no, but he can't use it. Doesn't mean he can't tell other people how to use it.
Okay, I suppose so, but...
How that works, but...
If they did... You know, would they even understand it? Would she know what the log files even say?
No, but he would.
Yeah, but he can't use that computer, and I'm at least with Kevin Mitnick. Kevin couldn't even tell people what to do.
Oh.
So you know he's screwed either way. But
I still think there could have been a way to get the information, and he could have had it without having to go to jail to get it.
So do you think?
I think that, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that was the only way. And, you know.
So you think he's guilty, he did this, and he's accepting
his punishment? I don't know if he's guilty or not.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Would you do the same thing he did? Would you do the same thing he did if you could only get the evidence against you on a computer? And
if I didn't have any money and I knew that I would be paying this off for the rest of my life and I was only getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into debt, I don't know. He made a choice.
Yep.
It's not an easy one, and I won't even pretend like I can answer that now, but he made a choice, and now he's dealing with it. But I want to move on to this next article, and this is about another man that took a choice. This is the Georgia man who was accused of computer theft and trespass after installing a distributed computing client at work. Do you remember this?
Yeah. Does it tell whatever happened to him?
Yeah. He has accepted a plea agreement that will bring an end to his 2-year legal odyssey. David McGowan, or McGowan, no G in there, had been facing up to 120 years in jail for downloading the distributed .NET client while working as a computer technician for the state-run DeKalb Technical College. Under the terms of the deal offered by the Georgia Attorney General's office, McGowan will be required to make restitution of $2,100 to cover the cost of removing the clients and perform 80 hours of community service unrelated to computers or technology. He also receives 1 year of probation for each criminal count, which will run concurrently. McGowan will have no felony or misdemeanor record under Georgia's First Offender Act.
How many counts is there?
I don't know. It doesn't say. But it says here what he did. McGowan loaded the, if you remember, he loaded the distributed.NET client on the college's machines and donated their unused computing power to the RC-564 code-breaking challenge.
Right.
Prosecutors alleged that McGowan stood to gain financially from his actions and implied that the client may have created security holes. So, by installing software, this is a systems administrator installing software on a computer network that he works on, and he was facing 120 years in federal prison for doing so.
Yeah. I don't know of any security holes that distributed.NET has, but he if one of those computers had cracked that code, then he would have gotten money, but I don't think he should have been punished as much as he did, although I think that what he did get wasn't, really bad compared to what he could have got.
Well, speaking of could have, have you heard about what's going on in China?
Besides the plane thing?
I thought the plane thing was long over.
Oh, well, no, what's going on in China?
Well, China has issued its most intrusive internet controls to date.
Oh, but I meant the plane thing where, did you hear about the plane thing?
I guess not. I'm still thinking about the old plane thing.
Oh, not the spy plane.
What's the
apparently,
new
one?
We have viewer mail, so make it quick.
Okay, apparently the United States made a plane for the president of China or something.
Uh-huh.
I think this is right.
And crashed.
It had a whole bunch of spying devices on it.
Oh, okay.
That the Chinese found. And, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
There was a whole bunch of high-tech devices which probably said made in China on them. They were trying to spy on the Chinese with them, but...
Oh, made in China, that's good. Yeah. Well... China has issued its most intrusive internet controls to date, and it now orders all service providers to screen private email for political content and holding them responsible for subversive postings on their websites. Man, would we be screwed.
Hey,
I'm glad we don't live in China, because there is no way in hell HackerMind.net is getting through to them.
I'm never going to China, man.
Don't go to China, man, because if we have any Chinese listeners, we don't, because they're not listening to us. They're being screened. They will kill you for anything. I told you about that. You put pins into a seat, death. You chop the head off a Buddha, death. Or off a, statue of Buddha.
Yeah, you probably deserve death for that, but...
Well, not for a statue. Not in my opinion.
Well, but basically anything you do over there, you die.
Yeah, and, that's just the way it is. Now, we have some listener mail, and I just wanted to read this because this one letter here. I don't know. This has got to be the greatest letter we've ever received.
Really?
Yeah, I really wanted to read this. Now, it starts off basically complimenting us. So I'm going to skip over that. There's no reason to gloat on the air. But he begins with, tears almost fell from my eye while reading the last issue. I meant to write earlier, but I had some exams. I wanted to write long ago, but my writing skills were making me hesitate to do so.
You mean the frequency?
Yeah. And this comes to us from Bilal, and he goes on to say, I will write an article that has importance and was not talked about previously, but first I want to tell you about myself. I live in Jordan, previously in Croatia, and before that in Kuwait. Since I was little, I was curious and wanted to know how everything worked. Other kids bought toys, I bought screwdrivers. And I could probably say that there is nothing in our house I didn't fix or open to see what was in it except the microwave oven. The first time I was introduced to computers was about 6 years ago, and I'm now 21 years old. I have two problems that are limiting my way in our community. I have two problems that are limiting my way in our community. The first one is the limited resources, from computers to play with and programs to try, and the fact that the internet is very expensive. And the second thing is, I'm smart, and everything that I can't... hold on. Okay, I'm smart and everything, but I can't get a piece of information to stay in my mind longer for 5 minutes. And the fact that I don't know any programming language, currently I'm studying electrical engineering in a college, and I'm doing well. And then he goes on to write us an article for Frequency, which we greatly appreciate. And then he concludes with, P.S. Screamer Dash, I don't know, but I think that I'm not using the punctuation right. Please modify it as you see appropriate. Well, we certainly will. And thank you very much on the easy and in the show. I try to tune in whenever I have the chance to. And another thing, please tell me if you are going to publish it or not, so I won't kill myself waiting for my article to show up. And please tell me if it sucks, so I will do better than that if you want me to. And don't worry, your article will be published. There are some grammatical errors, which, you know, normally when we get an article that's chock full of grammatical errors, we tend to, we read through it, see the content, see if we can fix it, and if we really can't without changing it all around, we have to, well, we can't print it, but this time I think we will, just because of the compliments that this guy gives us in the beginning of the letter. So, Dash, I'm going to send that to you.
All right.
I want you to read, well, do you think I should?
Yeah.
You think I should read the compliments?
Well, I don't know. Is it meant for us or for everybody?
No. Well, it's just some nice things that really wanted me, that made me want to read this. Hey, all right, what the hell?
All right.
Dear Screamer, I've been reading your magazine since the beginning. I didn't see much of the other hacking magazines, but if I did, it wouldn't change my opinion about yours being the best one. And I think that the community should award you on your work and dedication in putting the hacker's word in a way that truly describes us, and showing the world what we really are. Only people with no age, sex, religion, nor race boundaries that divide us. The only thing that holds us together is the love for knowledge and curiosity to explore our cyber world. So that really made me want to read that.
Yeah, that's a really nice letter. It's probably the best one we've ever got.
That's very kind of him. But, you know, the really important thing is that he mentions how he's in a different part of the world.
Yeah, where did you say he lives?
He's in Jordan right now, which is formerly a part of Croatia.
Wow, that's really far.
Yeah, he's listening to us over there, and I'm assuming he downloads him. I'm not sure if he's actually staying up till about 4 in the morning to listen to this.
Yeah.
But he says that he has limited access to computers and other forms of technology. And, you know, it really made me think how fortunate we are in this country to have so many things. I mean, right here, I have my landline phone, I have a scanner, I have a shortwave radio, I have this computer, I have two other computers, I have this laptop, my cell phone, I have all these gizmos and gadgets. How fortunate am I?
We're very fortunate over here in America.
And yet, no matter...
Everybody knows it.
Yeah, no matter how little... that Bilal has, I think that's his name, let me make sure I got it right, Bilal, okay. No matter how much limited technology that he has, he still has the hacker spirit, and that's what we like to see. You know, that's what we really like to see. I mean, he's probably got very old phone equipment, I'm assuming, I'm making an assumption here, and not a lot in the way of computers and the internet, but the hacker spirit lives on, and that's what's important, and that's pretty much the show right now.
Wow, yeah, it's done already. 10 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
11.
It is 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Boy, 10 o'clock.
Getting on my bad side, Dash. Is there anything else that we want to say before we conclude for the evening?
Nothing I can think of.
Not that you can think of.
I think we're done.
Go to hackermind.net, and apparently Dash is now begging people to post on our board.
I'm not begging people. I just wish more people would post.
I would like to see more conversation on there myself. I don't think I would take the route of telling people to do so, but...
I wasn't telling them. I wasn't trying to be all, you know, commanding and everything. I was just...
Well, you don't have to apologize for making a suggestion, though. But, yeah, you know... Feel free to drop a line. That's the place to speak your hacker mind, and also contribute to Frequency. Our thanks to Bilal and everyone else who has sent in articles for the newest issue. But we still need your support. It's not going to end there. And also send in some articles for Equal Access. We'll greatly appreciate that. And that about does it. So, for Dash Interrupt, I'm Screamer Chaotix saying break the system, and we'll see you next week. Dash? Say goodnight, Dash.
Oh, goodnight, Dash.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. I gave AT&T $4 for information.